So welcome to another Pharmacy in Practice podcast. Massively proud actually this morning to be speaking to one of my a real pharmacy mentor, someone I really look up to, and I know someone that many people, especially in Scotland and beyond, look up to. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. So it's Rosemary Parr here. I suppose CPO for Scotland. Absolutely honoured to be in that position. Been there for a few years now, so get a wee bit more of a handle on, I think, where pharmacy is and where it might be going. But lovely to meet you, and kind of really humbled to be in such a good position.
When I mean, we know we've met a few times, and we've had a bit of a blather previously. But when I don't really know, I sort of take things back to pharmacy practice. So when I don't really know a patient, what I ask is, what matters to you? Mm-hmm. So, as the CPO of Scotland, what matters to you?
Really good question. And you'll know that that movement is going across the world. And what matters to you is such a brilliant thing in healthcare and other areas. So, what matters to me is, I suppose, pharmacy and the passion around it, so that we grow our expertise and competence for the benefit of patients. That's it, bottom line. You know, I could quote Achieving Excellence and I could quote John Berwick saying it's for the people we serve, and that's absolutely right and proper. But I always think pharmacists have that at their heart. They want to help people. They want to help people take their medicines well. They want them to have better outcomes. Mm-hmm. And how can we facilitate that? So for me, it's about redesign of some services, but it's also about absolutely and utterly, for me, supporting the workforce, mm-hmm. where most of our mistakes are early careers. How do we get through those early careers so that we're safe, practitioners? Then how do we get and build up our expertise? And then how do we get to work at the top of our licence? Mm-hmm. So it's about redesigning services and supporting our workforce. And that gets me out of bed in the morning.
Right. I mean, I tend to over-emotionalise things. Just ask my wife. but I do see, I hope you don't mind me saying, but I do see a deep love for the profession that you've chosen. Mm-hmm. And we share, we've got that in common.
Yeah.
And I think your influence resonates because of that. That seems to be your common denominator. Do you think Scotland is achieving excellence in pharmaceutical care?
Oh, really good question. I think we have a really good ambition. I think we're in the right direction of travel. I do think, though, we need to do better. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely want to leave, I think, today, because we've had quite a lot of discussions today as well about challenging the profession to move forward. I think no one seems to disagree with the vision around both pharmaceutical care and making the medicine's journey better for patients. So that's a good thing. I think we can get to that vision, but we do need people to sometimes change culture, behaviours, practice, mm-hmm. come out of their comfort zone, and that's really difficult. So we need to make sure that we have mechanisms to help people do that. But definitely, I think we want to challenge people in all walks of pharmacy life to do as best they can do on a kind of daily basis. And I know many people do that. It sounds trite. But for me, it's like, how can we give them the skills to do that? How can we give them the opportunity? How can we give them the setting that actually works better?
Brilliant. Again, I shamelessly take it back to patients. So I see a lot of patients that, you know, especially in my, probably mostly in my COPD work, mm-hmm. where you're trying to change really ingrained behaviours. Mm-hmm. Now, someone who's been smoking for 30 years, the thought of giving up smoking absolutely petrifies them. So what do you think, with that in mind, what do you think scares pharmacists about your plan?
I think it's about the unknown. Mm-hmm. You're probably jumping into off that cliff or into the unknown. And it's my job and the job of pharmacy leaders to shine that light, to say, no, it's okay, there is a route here, it is safe, it's good enough really to build your professional career, it just might be built slightly differently. I think also there's something about not destabilising the whole of pharmacy at once. I think we need to have that evolution. We can't do everything, and I learned that really early on in government, things take longer than you think, mm-hmm. and we can't do everything at once, and that wouldn't be fair anyway, but we need to take people with us. I think also for me it's jumping out of the pharmacy profession and looking at what patients want as well. So what do patients need from us? I always go back to things like, well, it's all about the internet, or it's all about information or details, and there's loads of that out there. But patients, I think, in the public need the intelligence out of that. It's not the information. They need to have that translated on an individual basis for their medicines.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a huge role for pharmacists and technicians there as well. And I think there's a real gap. We know from the literature that most people ask their hairdresser or they ask or they read a magazine and they get their health information from that. How do we not make pharmacists first port of call for all of that? Because we know we're not biased. We absolutely have the expertise in that. So there's something about pulling that forward for patients. And think, once we've got patients on our side, we don't need to worry because then we'll have politicians on our side and then we'll have people understanding what pharmacy can bring to the party.
Mm-hmm. But we had a discussion before we started the podcast, obviously, about keeping positive and being a positive force for pharmacy. And you helped me out with my headline for this podcast, though, because you said in your talk, pharmacy is the answer to everything. Well, I'm not going to disagree with that. I totally agree. You said in your talk about things staying the same, and I'm just a jobbing pharmacist, but I've gone through that, the prescribing mm-hmm. thing, and I'm trying to follow the, mm-hmm. I guess I'm one of the guys that's tried to come from, my career 10 years ago was basically dispensing, mm-hmm. and now I'm prescribing and seeing quite sick people. So I welcome that consistency mm-hmm. around, and I know there were messages earlier on about every pharmacist should be a prescriber and so on, and I know you did kind of try and cut me off at the pass because you said things move slowly, but once you get to know me, Rosemary, I'm impatient. I want to know what the next big thing is. What's the next big vision after achieving excellence?
Well, that's a really good question. That'll be interesting to see, because I said and continue to say, I don't think the vision has changed that much over the last wee while. So the right medicine was the right, in 2002, I think, was the right thing to do. It set us on the right track. Prescription for Excellence built on that. And achieving excellence is, in a way for me, making it a wee bit more realistic. Just, this is what we really need, building on it. So whatever the next strategy is called, if there is a next one, it probably won't be my time, but it will be about building on that. So although you always want to take people with you, there is that kind of normal, boring day-to-day thing. We need to make the day better as well, and that's important.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make sure we're delivering the right things, and we know what those right things are, and we redesign our service to actually make them a bit better. So I can't imagine that the vision for pharmacy will change hugely. The settings might, the skill mix might, I think it will. I think our perception from patients and GPs will change, and I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will change for the better, because it will be more about the NHS family, and we'll be seen as that trusted professional, as we are already.
Mm-hmm.
What keeps me sane, I think, it is probably not St Andrew's House, but actually getting out of St Andrew's House to look, and I've said this from the very beginning, to look at other people's practice. So I've had the pleasure of being able to visit community pharmacies, the length and breadth actually of Scotland, quietly, to see their good work, and it blows me away, and that's what does keep me, I think, passionate and enthused about it. I also see the pressures there as well, and I also understand the pressures, particularly in a front line, whether it's hospital or community, and patients and the public can be difficult to deal with, and they absolutely do want it here right now. But what I've seen in community pharmacy and in hospital pharmacy, it's just been fantastic, and it does keep me alive and sane, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also is a bit of that feedback loop that makes me think we're on the right track. Maybe not do everything right or do everything quickly enough, but the direction of travel is not wrong.
A lot of people are asking about the pharmacotherapy service. What is it, basically? I mean, it's as simple as that.
It's a good point.
What is it?
It's a good point.
What's the crack?
Yeah.
What does it mean? Is it just a pharmacist thing? Is it pharmacy mm-hmm. technicians? There's a lot in it. So what is it?
I think we're at the start of growing another area for pharmacists and technicians to work in. Now, that goes back to being practice-based, and that's not really what I mean, because I don't think it will stay there. So for me, it's going back to that integration of community, GP practice and hospital, and around that interface that makes pharmaceutical care stronger and people being able to take their medicines better. So pharmaceutical, Pharmacotherapy, which is difficult to say, and some people actually do get tripped up, and I've been in lots of audience where people are calling it pharmacology. So that pharmacology service is doing really well. It's been quite a good handle, I have to say, though, because it does really say what it means in the tin. It is about using your expertise around making your medicines better, your therapy better, your outcomes better, not just your access, but your outcomes. It's not just about prescribing, it's about data and outcomes and looking at that. And pharmacists are well placed to do that. But we have to start somewhere. And I think for me, we're at the early stages of that curve. We're in very early stages, although we're 3 years down the line. We have got some feedback that pharmacotherapy service is working and GPs like it and pharmacists like it and patients accept it, but I think we're nowhere near where it needs to be. I think we're still at that kind of early stage of transactional issues where it is about prescribing and it is about repeat prescribing, and we need to move serial prescribing to community pharmacy. We need to make those systems better. So we need to shift that balance of work, I think, away from a GP practice, but then we need to use the expertise of pharmacist prescribing anywhere in the GP practice or in community pharmacy.
But I agree with you, actually. I mean, it's okay not to know what's going to happen, I think.
I think
you
is.
Know, I think people just are so quick. And this is where the being positive thing. And I don't want to be evangelical and just blindly positive, but I do think you need a sort of, like you exude, a kind of gradual forward thinking, positive movement and making progress and stuff.
And it's there to be moulded, I think.
Yeah.
So we have some governance around it, a range of directors of pharmacy, and that's right and proper. We have to manage GPs' expectations, and that, I know, is an issue at the coalface, but we continue to do that, both from in government and out with it. And we need to make sure we don't destabilise the workforce anywhere else, and that's really important. But when we were involved in some of the negotiations in government with GPs and others, we made sure they didn't just get pharmacists alone without taking community pharmacy with them. And in essence, they didn't understand that, but we understand it. We can't grow one sector or area without thinking of the others. So robbing Peter to pay Paul isn't, and I know it's happening in areas, but it can't be sustainable. We need to make sure we get to a point where all of those areas are sustainable. Now, it doesn't mean to say it's exactly the same, because it will change, but it needs to be sustainable. And if I was, my last thought around where we are in our profession is, what if I was just a 21-year-old coming out of university and excitedly wanted to be a prescriber? I would want to do a portfolio career.
Yeah.
I didn't have that choice when I was coming out of university. It was hospital or community, and that's it. I think a portfolio career working between potentially a GP practice and community pharmacy would be just fantastic. We've seen really good examples of that. So building on what you've said there, I think it's right to say, grab it with both hands. If it's for you, go for it. And if you're comfortable in growing that role, absolutely do it. Government can't do that. They can set a direction of travel, but they can't always make it happen.
No, that's what a profession does. Yeah. I've got one tricky question.
Okay.
And then I've got one question that I ask quite a few of my guests. So, got to be honest and say, because I've got the magazine now, I hear quite a lot of views and opinions behind the scenes and so on and so forth, and there's quite a lot of noise from no one in particular, but there is a bit of noise and a bit of reticence and concern, I guess, around a potential brain drain from community pharmacy. Now, this must be difficult for you to hear, because if I was you, I'd be thinking, well, GP pharmacy's going really well. We can't please everyone, do you know what I mean? So I know it's impossible to please everyone, Rosemary, and you do a pretty damn good job of it. But what would you say to those contractors to reassure them?
Yeah, it's a really good point. Actually, we hear that as well. And, you know, maybe 10 years ago, workforce wasn't an issue. And now it definitely is, I think, in people's minds. Not all that's negative, some of that is a positive thing, and you know, the new black, we are here, and that's a good thing, and people want bits of us, and that's a good thing as well. But I do understand about the stability of community pharmacy, and I think it must be quite scary for them at this point in time, because they don't always know the future, and many people have their whole lives invested within their community pharmacy, so I get it. But looking back at some of the examples I've seen, some of the community pharmacists who are working with their community at the heart of it are not frightened by this at all, because they understand motivation, they understand work-life balance, and they understand what makes people tick as professionals, and they can get those conditions at work for both. So yeah, it's scary. Yeah, I think we need some time to evolve. We shouldn't do everything too quickly. We need to manage expectations. But if you've got a job you want to about to go to, you will do that no matter what setting it's in. So all of us as employers need to keep that in our head. There's a market out there, people can choose. So that's important. And those work-life balancing conditions I think are really important for professionals. We need to be at the top of our game. We need to be making big decisions. We can't do that if we're not fit, if we're not able to do that, if we're too tired, if we've not had a good work-life balance. So that's really important. And I say that not as a threat to any employer, but it's just common sense to me. It doesn't need to be pharmacy. So growing good working conditions and people that are motivated to is just so important. So if you're doing something that's below your skill mix, that doesn't get you out of bed in the morning, then why would you not look elsewhere? But if you're doing something you look forward to, you absolutely are using your grey matter, you're using your expertise, then actually it's not where you are. You will want to go to work.
I'm loath not to be positive about it because there's I'm not going to go there, because there are some cracking examples of pharmaceutical care delivery and community pharmacy in Scotland. I think the overall level of competence is higher because of achieving excellence in pharmaceutical care. I know that's a sweeping statement, but I think generally it is, and you're showing the way, you know, so it's.
And it's not without its challenges.
No, I know.
I don't underestimate those challenges as well. So there's something for me about how we do support the workforce, and I know we've got building blocks around that. NHS education is a really good thing as well. But the challenge back to me, back to the profession, is absolutely skill mix. Are we doing the right things? Do we have the right level of practitioner to do the right things? Now, no profession does, but we need to keep it in our heads. We need to move that as we go forward. And I have to come back to CPS's vision document, which came out just after Achieving Excellence. And I have to commend them because they kind of were brave enough to
Absolutely.
say things need to change. Technicians need a role here. There's technical tasks. There's tasks that pharmacists need to do. So I absolutely think they've got the right, rhetoric is not the right word, but they've absolutely got the right culture for change. And you know what? That working together with Achieving Excellence, I think, is the right thing to do.
I don't think it's unfair to say that they've obviously made a conscious decision to come with you and make moves to follow your lead. So that's what else can we ask for? I mean, that's really positive. Final question. Dun, dun, dun. What is your advice to newly qualified pharmacists coming through today?
Well, that's a really good question, isn't it? So if I put myself as a 21-year-old coming through the register, I would be quite scared, I think. I would want to make sure I have a safe environment. All of us make mistakes. We have to have that environment where you will make a mistake. You absolutely have that open culture about being able to say, I've made a mistake, and learn from it. Because one of my biggest, I suppose, the culture change here about not just what matters for you, but also we have should have an open, I know we don't, but we should have a no blame environment really for practitioners in the health service, but it can be really difficult. So for me, it's about there's no shame to that. We all make mistakes. We have to make sure we just don't repeat them, and we do different ones. So having that culture around you and that safe network around you is really important. And then just go for it. Be clinical, be patient facing, and then you're well round.
Talk to folk.
Talk to folk.
Talk to folk. It's been a real, honestly, a privilege. It is. You say it's not, but it is. Absolute privilege that you've taken the time.
No problem.
And
first podcast ever.
First podcast, there you go. We could chalk that up to pharmacy and practice. But no, thank you very much, Rosemary.
You
It's been an
were lovely
absolute
to meet
pleasure.
you.